What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mr. Movie. I'm your host, as always, Josh Bergman, and today is a very special episode because I have brought back a very special guest, and it is my guy, Zach Valisi. He is on now the show for the fourth time. Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. You know, I guess now that Rebecca moved out, you're going to start asking me to be a part of the show more often, and that's fine. I just, you know, I don't want to feel like a second choice, but I do kind of feel like, well, not kind of feel like a third choice, to be completely honest. But, you know, I'm happy to be on. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. I mean, just you did bring it up with Rebecca, who sadly has moved out. This is your fourth time. When she was on the show, she was here four times. So now you have the tie, the record tie with Rebecca for being on the show most. So you only have to be on one more and then you take the title.
And I get a jacket.
You're right. I did promise you a five timers jacket. I don't remember which episode. I forgot about it. I have to start stitching. But Zach, I'm so excited to have you on because today we're going to be talking about Godzilla vs. Kong, as well as doing, once again, a very fun game with you that is titled Let Them Fight. And I'll be going into that later. But Zach, I'm just excited. How have you been? You were last on the episode with Promising Young Woman. And now I brought you from Promising Young Woman to Godzilla vs. Kong.
I love the contrast. I'm trying to think, like, why, like, what kind of movie are you going to ask me to join the show for? Last time it was a very Oscar-baiting movie. And this week it's a pretty intense action movie. So I'm excited. I love the diversity. I definitely can preview for everyone. I did like one of the movies more than the other by a grand margin. So like, just wait and see for my nut ranking and then you'll know.
Well, Zach, probably next up, I'm going to find a random Spanish-speaking romantic drama. And I'll make a game out of it for you. I'll make you watch it and go from there.
Awesome. Like, that sounds great. I love a good game. Again, I'm talking about it. I love being the game guy. I'm not the list guy. I'm the game guy. I'm here for fun and games.
When I introduce you in later episodes, I have to introduce you as Zach Valisi, the game guy.
Good. I want it on my gravestone, too.
Thank you for thinking that I'm going to outlive you. That's very honorable of you. But Zach, as you were mentioning, last time you here is Promising Young Woman. And, you know, that was a very Oscar-baity film. And since you were last on, the Oscar nominations came out. We are in the heat of Academy Awards season. And we are now about 3 or 4 weeks away from the Oscars coming out with all of, you know, the best picture lists of who wins, best actor, who wins, probably some snubs. Overall, how are you feeling about the 2021 Oscars?
I feel pretty good. You know, it was a hard year for movies, and I do feel like some of the pickings were pretty slim. I didn't see that many movies, but most of the movies that got nominations, I did already see. So that was lucky and doesn't always happen, but it was just because there weren't that many good movies coming out. And so all the good movies that were coming out are being nominated. Not all, but all the ones that I thought were really good and all the ones that I liked a lot. And I think that it is going to be an interesting Oscars. I think that, you know, I can see a lot of the awards going a few ways. I don't think that there's a movie that might sweep. I think that Nomadland is probably going to do really well, because it just feels very Oscar-y, and I think that it's based off what I'm hearing. But I also think that diversity is a really important issue. So I can also imagine Judas and the Black Messiah doing very well as well.
Well, it's definitely interesting because this last week, the Screen Actor Guild Awards happened, which they are the second really in the professional big acting award shows. And the winners from that show were, at least in my opinion, a bit surprising. Of course, you had Chadwick Boseman winning Best Actor. You had Daniel Kaluuya for Judas winning Best Supporting Actor. But the grandma from Minari, she won Best Supporting Actress in a phenomenal thank you speech in which she was crying, shocked because none of us really thought she would win. And she was like, I'm sorry, I don't speak English that well, but thank you so much to everyone. And then for Best Actress, over Carey Mulligan, over Frances McDormand, Viola Davis won for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which personally I was a bit surprised about. But I think that just goes to show that the acting it's still up in the air for who's going to win at the Oscars. And just personally for me, the best overall cast, they don't do best picture, just cast. And Trial Chicago 7 won over everyone else, over Minari, over One Night in Miami. I just thought, as kind of what you're saying with diversity, as the only white cast in, out of the five, Trial Chicago 7 won, which also just means that it might have a chance at best picture still.
Yeah, it definitely has a chance. I don't know if I would put money on it and say that Trial is likely to win Best Picture. I think that a lot of people would be honestly disappointed if it did win. I kind of can see that being like a Green Book scenario. And but I still thought it was a great movie. I think it could win screenplay, but we'll see.
But to go from that with the Oscars to now Godzilla vs. Kong, because of course those two are pretty much hand in hand, because Godzilla vs. Kong, what an Oscar-baity movie right here. Overall, Godzilla vs. Kong, what more do I need to explain about Godzilla vs. Kong? I like that the title is one of those few movies that really everything you need to know is in the title. It is Godzilla vs. King Kong. It's like Godzilla vs. Kong and 40-Year-Old Virgin. Everything you need is right in the title. Just to go a little bit more, though, this is, in fact, the fourth entry in what is considered as the Monsterverse. That is including 2014's Godzilla, 2017's Kong Skull Island, and 2019 Godzilla King of the Monsters, and pretty much beyond a big lizard and monkey fighting. To try to simplify it into most important terms is Alex Skarsgård hires Rebecca Hall, who is studying Kong on Skull Island, and they need Kong to go to this place for some scientific reasons. And at the same time, Millie Bobby Brown from Godzilla King of the Monsters and her dad Kyle Chandler are back in this film, and pretty much Millie Bobby Brown teams up with Brian Tyree Henry to go on a side quest to figure out what this company is actually doing. And with all this, once again, you have Godzilla, a big lizard, fighting King Kong, a big monkey. And this actually was a victim to not only the COVID-19 pandemic, but just Hollywood overall. Because Godzilla King of the Monsters came out in May 2019, and this was originally going to be coming out March 2020. And then, of course, Godzilla King of the Monsters did not do as well as expected, and it was pushed back to November 2020. But then, because of COVID, it was then pushed back to May 2021. And in a surprising move, this film was actually moved up to the last weekend of March 2021 in theaters as well as HBO Max. And Zach, with that out of the way, what did you think of Godzilla vs. Kong? Did you have any expectations? What's your history with either the Monsterverse, Godzilla, or even Kong?
Yeah, so let me first talk about my experience with the Monsterverse, because I'm not a big Monsterverse person. I'm just going to put it out there right now. The only other one I saw was Godzilla King of the Monsters, and I saw that with you 2 years ago, and I really didn't like that movie. I really thought that one was really boring, really bad. It's very similar to this movie. Like, it follows a common thing where, whoa, watch out for the big monster, and then a human's doing a bunch of science stuff that you're not really paying attention to because a lot of the stuff they're saying is complete gibberish. Then you wait for the cool monster fight. And I think what was worse about Godzilla King of the Monsters, and honestly, I'm trying to remember, but I remember a lot of it was just like Godzilla underwater will pop out and everyone's really scared and he'll destroy some stuff. But it was good in Godzilla versus Kong to see both of them fight against each other and have some pretty interesting action scenes. But all in all, you know, these movies are like kind of bad. Like, there's not too much redeeming from them except some cool fights. But other than that, really, really bad. What'd you think?
To go into just what I think about the Monsterverse, I'm a huge fan of the Monsterverse. I have, even Godzilla King of the Monsters, I've enjoyed every single film prior to this one, granted with diminishing returns, because what I love is that every film so far in the franchise has had its own unique take. The first Godzilla, directed by Gareth Edwards, was very much a human perspective and experiencing these monsters for the first time. You really feel the weight, the size, the scale. And yes, Godzilla's not in it that much, but it makes up for it because when it kicks ass in the end, it makes it totally awesome. And then Kong Skull Island is very much a Vietnam War type film that is a mix of also an early Saturday morning type film where you have a cast of 12 people that 8 of them get eaten, and you are supposed to enjoy that. And then King of the Monsters, I like for, it appreciates, now that I've watched a couple of the Godzilla films from the 50s and 60s, it appreciates more of the history. And with Godzilla vs. Kong, it definitely takes a more science fiction route, especially with some transportation vehicles that they have, which if you look back at the 2014 one, you'd think, how the hell do they make this jump? And as I said, I love kaiju films. I love monsters. I love destruction. They destroy Hong Kong in this, just saying. That city will take years to rebuild. Honestly, though, I'm not a big fan of this film. I, of course, Godzilla vs. Kong, I am there for the fights. Every time there was a fight, I enjoyed it. But even this past week, seeing King of the Monsters on HBO, I just personally found myself a lot more invested in the pacing, the story, and even the human characters. I like the human characters in that one. When this one, you have Rebecca Hall and Alex Skarsgård, who I guess is the main storyline, and I kind of get behind. If that was the only humans in the film, I would have said, sure, they're okay. But you have Millie Bobby Brown and Brian Tyree Henry in this film, and honestly, Millie Bobby Brown, it's great to see her again.
You keep on forgetting about the kid from Deadpool 2 and Hunt for the Wilder People. His name is Julian Dennison, and he was in some other movies. I don't know if you heard of them. Deadpool 2, Hunt for the Wilder People, directed by Taika Waititi. Really good movie.
But just back to that storyline going with Millie Bobby Brown, Brian Tyree, and Julian. We kind of talked about it immediately after, in which their storyline, once again, it's great to see Millie Bobby Brown back, and I like those actors. Their storyline is pretty much pointless and actually adds nothing except a small thing during the climax, in which, as I was mentioning, they're on a goal to discover something about this evil organization. But even if they never went on this quest, everything that happened still would have happened. And just that storyline in an hour and 50 movie, I didn't need it.
I guess it was like being the comic relief. An attempt to alleviate from the seriousness of the Alexander Skarsgård storyline, which honestly, like watching it, if you told me like they were at least in Kong, Skull Island, or any of the other movies, I would have been like, okay. And Millie Bobby Brown, like I remember her for a hot second in Godzilla King of the Monsters, but honestly, I thought that she was from the first Godzilla movie as well, but turns out she's not. So like, just the fact that we're just, you know, being introduced to all these new characters, I also feel like is less satisfying than it would have been if, you know, they're more of a commonality, except for Millie Bobby Brown and her dad, who were apparently in the last movie, and I remember very little doing very not that much. I remember her like in a car or something like that.
They were the stars of the movie. They're in it for screen time, an hour, 50 minutes. They're in it for a lot.
It felt weird.
But yeah, just like stuff with that, and then also with Kong's storyline, it's called Godzilla vs. Kong, but this is really Kong featuring Godzilla, and that kind of annoys me a bit, because King Kong actually weirdly has a story, like a character arc in this film, which I guess that's cool. It's not what I wanted. Well, this sounds weird because it's a what I wanted versus what I got, but it made Godzilla feel like just there, like his opening scene. I feel like there was just nothing to Godzilla in this film. And in the other Godzilla films, I felt like we had a bit more interpersonal interaction with him and made him feel more like a character when he's just there in this one. So as a Godzilla fan, I was also a bit disappointed in that aspect.
Another thing, I don't know, this could have been just me, but I also felt like the scale of King Kong kept on changing for me. Like, how big is he? Because I'm like, Godzilla is ginormous. And like, every time I didn't see Godzilla there with King Kong, I always felt like Godzilla just seemed a lot smaller than King Kong. And then when they finally met, they're like the same size. But like, when they're pulling him on the tugboat, I'm like, he doesn't really seem like that big. But then he gets up and starts fighting Godzilla and he's the same size. I don't know. Was that just me? I just feel like the scale just didn't seem consistent.
Well, I wouldn't say specifically that it didn't feel consistent, but the scale aspect is kind of what I was mentioning with Godzilla, which Gareth Edwards, he really makes you feel like a small person with these ginormous monsters. And in this film, in Godzilla vs. Kong, I felt there's no scale. You didn't really feel like these monsters were big. You can see that they're big compared to like buildings, but you didn't really feel in a way the weight. Like if they crashed into a building, which in Hong Kong they do a lot, you just think like there's just no weight to it. And seeing it done well in other movies made it more disappointing in this one for me.
So which one is your favorite out of the MonsterVerse movies?
Out of the MonsterVerse, I would say On a technical film aspect itself, I'd say the original 2014 Godzilla has been my favorite, given with, honestly, not horrible characters, and I like the use. It's like a Jurassic Park if you don't see the monster, and that builds up the tension. And once again, the scale, the weight of it all, it's great. But Kong Skull Island, I think, is the most fun. You have a bunch of monsters eating a bunch of people. But moving on, this is a versus film. So Zach, how did you think that Godzilla vs. Kong delivered on Godzilla versus Kong?
Is it a spoiler, like, if I say it didn't really? I honestly had a feeling that it wasn't going to, because it never really does. It'd be exactly, you know, one person wins. It's either Godzilla or Kong. Like, that wasn't the case in this movie. And
well, it's interesting. Sorry to cut you off, but it's interesting because there have been versus films. Freddy versus Jason, Alien versus Predator, which is the crossovers. But those are much more of a versus film. When this kind of goes into a Batman v Superman type versus film, and it's a bit annoying because at the end with this third act, it felt like there was no point to it.
Why was Godzilla fighting Kong?
Godzilla was fighting Kong because as Titans, Godzilla King of the Monsters, he was technically the King of the Monsters, but Kong was stuck on Skull Island, so he didn't show his, in a way, animal dominance to Kong. So it was pretty much of when Kong leaves Skull Island, Godzilla's like, finally, this is our time. I gotta show you that I'm the king of the monsters. It's instinct.
Okay, well, he gave up on that dream.
What are you talking about? Godzilla still, when they find out that there's something more, Godzilla still established he is king of the monsters one way or another.
Sure, but he doesn't kill Kong.
No, I don't think it was ever about killing. I think it was dominance.
Oh, what? Because in Godzilla King of the Monsters, he's killing all the other monsters.
Yeah, but that's because they're deadly. Those are deadly. Kong's just, you know, he's just your friendly neighborhood ape.
I don't know, big L. But honestly, if you gave me like 10 minutes to think about what could have happened, like what the plot could have been, I think I would have gotten it.
What do you mean?
I think I would have said, I already was hesitant. I was like, it's not going to be Godzilla versus Kong. One of them's going to die and one of them's going to win. But if I thought about it, I would have been like, oh, it's going to be Godzilla versus Kong and they're going to fight. But then like something stupid like Mechagodzilla is going to come out and they're going to both have to team up and fight him together. I think I could have come up with that if you gave me enough time to think about it.
Maybe not everything specifically that you just said. I wouldn't have said exactly those words. But just overall, from whether they're fighting and the story of having to go to Hollow Earth and even the third act, did you think this movie was stupid?
Yeah, the whole thing with Hollow Earth doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, like, it's all like lore, I guess, but all the actors are stupid because like the main actors are like, they're getting tricked by this bad guy, so they're being stupid. And I don't know, I mean, like, it is kind of stupid. And I think that this might have been a thing on the first Godzilla, but like, I feel like it kind of takes away the realism. Like, what if this happened in our world? Like, I feel like that is totally like disregarded in this movie. They're like, these monsters are gods. They can smell each other from across the world. And we need to go inside of Earth to get on the other side of the Earth. And they are going to fight each other. And they might destroy a city, but who cares? We need to bring them anyway. Who cares if like thousands of people die? What? Like, yeah, you're stupid. This is stupid. Think about it for 5 seconds and change your mind. You're being fooled. And the fact that Mechagodzilla can be taken down by just pouring water on his little computer.
No, that's the storyline. It's just, it's stupid. And it's not even he was taken down. He was defunct for a split second, which I guess helped, but I just found it, why did this really need to happen? I just thought that given what happens with, in similar way with Batman v Superman, of the way that film ends, it feels like it was leading towards something more. I felt like with the end of this one, it's like, why did it happen this specific way? And that's, as a fan of the MonsterVerse, I've just been a bit disappointed really thinking about this one and the films that came before it. But Zach, what did you think? This, as I said, this was an hour and 50, shortest of all of the MonsterVerse films. What did you think of the pacing? Was it good enough?
I think that it had a slow beginning. And I think that, I thought that the stuff in the Middle Earth took a long time as well. Here's a plot hole. I don't know. Cut it out because it might also be a spoiler. But when they're in the center, the Hollow Earth, I think I was talking to Justin or Tor about this, but Godzilla like screams at the ground and sets a little hole down to the center of the Earth. And then Kong jumps in the hole, but then starts climbing down. And they go in the ship, and the ship starts going down. I think. So, I mean, like, maybe now I'm like, maybe they were upside down. But, like, from my establishment of the rules of where, what direction everything was going in, it looked like they were going the opposite direction. But then they come out of the hole in Hong Kong.
I'm trying to think, because I can't remember exactly what the directions were. I thought they, in my mind, they jump down a hole, and then, of course, they have to climb out a hole. So what I thought happened is that Kong jumps down a hole, and he got so much momentum that when gravity inverts, he pops up on the other side and is easily able to get out.
Well, if that were true, they didn't show it.
That is true, because this film is directed by Adam Wingard, and he has had some mixed films in the past. He has had some small, good horror films that were well-received, but he also had the Blair Witch remake or sequel that personally I didn't see. He had Death Note, the Netflix film, but they were very much mixed bags. And I don't know if it's really his direction or just the script overall that I felt wasn't strong enough. What I can say was strong enough was the cinematography. I thought there were a lot of beautiful, vibrant color shots.
I think I saw a tweet or something on like r/movies that was like a picture, or it was a picture of a tweet. Oh, I think it was of the Loki show, and there was like orange and blue, and the tweet said like, I can already tell that the cinematography in Loki is going to be sick. And then the Reddit post was commenting on it, and it's like, people think if the shot has orange and blue, like warm tones and cool tones together, they automatically think that the cinematography is going to be sick. And I honestly don't remember the cinematography in this movie. I don't remember feeling like, wow, it looks so great, but I'm glad you did.
It wasn't that it was the best. The other films 100% have better cinematography. I can take a handful of screenshots of the past films and compare it to this one and say these are better, but maybe it might just be the colorings. I liked, there were some good use of colors. Call me crazy.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is there going to be a fifth MonsterVerse movie? I know this movie is performing really well at the box office. So, like, will there be a fifth?
That is a good question. So, currently, Godzilla vs. Kong was the end of Toho, the company, owns the Godzilla characters. And at the time, this is technically the end of the contract. So, there's been yet to be a re-up on Legendary, the financer of these films, and Toho. But if they wanted to continue it, they can create a Kong sequel. So they can just use the Kong characters, and so they don't have to be related to Toho, but then have, if that works out, then they could get Godzilla back. But as of now, there is no further continuation. But they've said that they left it open.
Okay, if you could pair a blank versus blank, characters that you know are in this world, what would it, where would you go next? Like, you've already done a lot of them.
I know, I'm not the, I don't know that much of all the characters, and we already did Mothra and Rodan and Ghidorah all in one movie, King of the Monsters. Personally for me, since Legendary, the company, owns Godzilla and King Kong, as well as Pacific Rim, bring on King Kong versus Kaiju Monsters versus the Jaeger Robots. I am all down for that.
Okay. I would like to see that happen.
Legendary, listen to me right now. It will make you... Actually, I don't even know if it will be that successful. The second Pacific Rim wasn't the best. But Zach, as I was mentioning before, this was released in theaters as well as HBO Max. This is technically, for a lot of people, the return to theaters with just the scale of monsters as well as vaccines. We actually did see this in theaters together. I got a private theater for me, my family, and some of our friends. What did you think? This was your first time back in theaters, correct?
Yeah, it was. It felt really, really great. I felt safe because I was with a bunch of vaccinated people and people I knew, and I had my mask on the whole time, and it was just us. It was great. It felt like, as soon as we walked in and I smelled the popcorn, I guess I forgot, but like it hit me. I used to do this every week. Like we used to go to the theater every week, and it just like kind of all came back to me. And sitting in the theater, watching it on the big screen, like this was the movie to go back to watch on the big screen. It was really cool. And I don't know, like it felt good. It felt really good to be back.
Was it great to see Maria Menounos on the pre-commercial of the film?
I missed her because before, whenever I'd watch something on Netflix, I'd have to make my mom pretend, ask me movie trivia and pretend to be Maria Menounos.
Did she have to say, I'm Maria Menounos, thank you for watching?
You have to. I would have to try to get the app. Like, I would have deleted it. But, you know, when you go in and you're like, oh, the new V app, I've got to download that again so I can do the trivia. And then by the time you finally download it, the thing is over. You're like, ah, damn, I'm just going to delete it.
We never got to play the game on the screen because we were so slow at getting it started. But you're kind of hinting at this before, that this is the movie to go back to theaters. What, so you think this is the one you have to see in theaters?
I mean, this is the... I just feel like they got lucky, because I kind of just think that it hit a golden mark where, you know, more and more people are starting to get vaccinated this week. This is a big movie, so you want to go see it in the theater. And I think that the stars aligned, and this is the movie that a lot of people are going back to for their first movie. At least that's what I've kind of been seeing the vibe on Twitter or on Letterboxd, and by how it's doing on the box office. Like, people are like, it's safe to go back to the theater. I don't know. Did you notice that?
I was going to get into it a bit later of just, in a way, the stars aligning in a way. But even not enjoying it as much as I wanted to, I would still say I had to see this in the theater. I'm like, I need to hear Godzilla's roar. I need to hear Kong yelling at him, whether they are face-to-face without masks, which was very dangerous. They probably swapped saliva.
They were, like, flying, sending lasers into each other's mouths. I'm sure that would, if one of them had COVID, the other one definitely is infected.
The next Godzilla film is actually him going to King Kong's funeral because he died of COVID. So, Zach, who or what would you say was the star of the film? Was it one of the actors? Was it just the scale of it? What did you take away from this film saying, this is great?
Okay, well, I would say I have two answers, because you kind of asked two different questions. Who won the film? King Kong won the film. And like you said, it was more of a Kong versus Godzilla movie, because they really set you up rooting for Kong. You know, he touches the little girl's finger. I don't know if that sounds weird, but he, you know, is friendly with little deaf girls. And all the humans are like, we gotta go help Kong. And they're dragging him on a tugboat. I don't know. The movie makes you root for Kong. I was rooting for Kong during the movie. You know, he's got, you said, he's got character development. You know, he's like kind of a good person. He doesn't want it. I didn't see Kong Skull Island, so I don't know. Maybe this is the only time I've seen him. He seems like a nice guy. And Godzilla, I saw the last one and I saw this one. He's just destroying shit. And he doesn't care. And he's, I'm the king of the monsters. And he is, you know, I smell some smelly ape, and I'm gonna come all the way over to Florida and I'm gonna blast him. Kong won the movie. What was the best part of the movie? The best part was any time that they were punching each other. And that was the only good part.
I would say for me, the star of the movie, the one thing I can take away saying that this is great, it's a weird one, but event films. I felt like for one of the first times in a long time, this felt like a theatrical event. As you were saying, a lot of people were tweeting about it, saying this is my first time back in the theater. There have been a lot of memes about this movie. I just been seeing Twitter, Reddit, Letterboxd blow up. The theater got crowded. There's a lot of money that Warner Brothers got. It felt good. Like, this is the stuff that I die for. I love it so much.
Yes, but I think the event was more the movie than the event in the movie. Like, you know, Avengers Infinity War or Endgame, that's an event because it's like, how are they going to do it? What's going to happen? But going to this movie, no one really cares. Godzilla versus Kong, who wins? But just the fact that the movie is Godzilla and COVID is Kong, and you want to see how they're going to fight against each other. That's the event.
Yeah, it's like when you see a ring match on TV. You're rooting for the fight. You're rooting for the visuals. You're rooting to go to the theater. And I thought, in a way, in the weirdest way that you were saying before, that this really shouldn't be the film. Because the stars were aligned, this was the event film that I don't think we're going to get until maybe June. So, see in 3 months.
You mean like Black Widow?
Black Widow, maybe A Quiet Place, Fast 9. That we got a trailer for?
Yeah.
But Zach, final question. This is the big one. What would you give this? What would you rank this on the nut scale? Would you give this an almond, lowest of the low, a walnut, negative to mixed, cashew, mixed to positive, or the almighty peanut?
I'm giving this one a flat almond.
Ouch. Wow.
100%.
Wow. Wow.
I don't make the rules. I just follow them.
What specific fit makes you think almond? Like, there's really nothing redeeming.
Yeah, it was just stupid. I didn't care about anything. like, there were a lot of boring parts to it. It's just not my kind of thing, I guess, but also just, like, didn't come together for me.
It would definitely be interesting to see if you decide to sit down and really focus to watch Godzilla or Kong Skull Island and see these are the good ones compared to this one. What would you think, though, compared to Godzilla King of the Monsters? I know it's been 2 years and you haven't rewatched it, but on first viewing from memory.
I think it was better, honestly. This was better than Godzilla King of the Monsters. I do think I would like Kong Skull Island. I wish I got to see it that day with you guys. But yeah, this was better. This is the better one of the two that I've seen.
For me, I would say, as much of a fan of the MonsterVerse, really one of my favorite, in a way, cinematic universes. I just like that it's technically a four film franchise that could end right here. It has been my least favorite. I was a bit disappointed, especially in this last week, just thinking them over. And I was very mixed on the film, but I just think it doesn't work. And I'm gonna give it a walnut. Even myself, I'm a bit surprised. I like the visuals. Of course, I like the fight scenes. The little girl speaking in ASL, I'm always a fan of that. I just think that the story, it's a bit dumb. Characters, storylines were unnecessary. There's no weight. Like, what I loved about the other monster films was you felt like it was big. This one didn't really feel that big to me, sadly.
I totally agree with you. Also, off topic, I think I might have given a range of the nuts. I've given a peanut, I've given an almond, I've given a walnut. I can't remember what the fourth movie I've been a part of was.
The New Mutants and Unhinged.
Oh, I might have given those cashews. I don't remember.
Wow. I think you have. You're the first guest to have all four rankings. Congratulations.
Do, 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 do.
That's the victory music, because I have not made any victory music for you yet. But Zach, before we even get into our game, I'm very excited because, as we mentioned, this movie is in theaters. And that means I can give you box office numbers. And as we said, this was, in a way, a return to form for theaters. On opening day, Godzilla vs. Kong grossed $9.6 million. On its first day, that is the highest film grossed since March of 2020. Unbelievable. And its actual highest day was this Saturday, in which it grossed $12.5 million. In just over 3,000 theaters, once again, the highest, most released film since Onward, or the films back in March of 2020. And then in its opening weekend, it grossed $32.2 million, once again, highest since March, and in the five-day opening, it grossed $48.5 million, almost half of $100 million. And also, if you want to compare it, Godzilla King of the Monsters, in the summer, the first 3 days, it only grossed $47.7 million. Technically, in its opening weekend, Godzilla vs. Kong grossed more than King of the Monsters in a pandemic, in reduced theaters. That's a success story right there.
I really do think the stars aligned for this movie. So good for Warner Brothers, good for Legendary, like honestly good for everyone involved except for the screenwriter and all the actors.
It would just be very interesting because how would have this film done if it was released, if COVID never happened and it was just one of another blockbuster that came out during a week?
Honestly, you're right. It probably would have done worse.
Because Godzilla King of the Monsters, back in May of 2019, it was released right after Endgame, right after John Wick, right after Aladdin. It was just a film that got swallowed up in a crowded season. This film has really no competition until Mortal Kombat. And then beyond that, Cruella and A Quiet Place on Memorial Day. It has a long future.
Do you know what my COVID sandwich bread is? If you're talking about theaters, like this is the one slice of the bread. Godzilla, the movie, the first time I've been in theaters at the end of the pandemic, but what was the last movie I saw in theaters before the pandemic?
I remember it was Onward. You went to, I think it was a job interview, and you were in New York and you thought you had some time to kill, and it was the Thursday or it was the last day before really shit hit the fan. You wiped down your seat, you were just sat away from everyone, and you thought, you know what, I don't like this movie.
That's correct. You know, it was before you knew it was like an airborne virus, so I was like, everyone was just like, wash your hands. So I'm like, washing my hands, I'm wiping down the seat with the Lysol, I'm in New York City. Who knew that in a week it was going to be ground zero for COVID? And I went and I watched Onward, and I didn't love it, but that's okay.
And now you saw Godzilla vs. Kong just over a year later, and you still
and
didn't
love
it.
Yeah, when am I going to see a good movie in theaters?
Here's hoping sometime soon. But Zach, That is Godzilla vs. Kong. It is currently in theaters as well as HBO Max. And in honor of the Godzilla franchise, to quote Ken Watanabe from 2014 Godzilla, "Let them fight." This is the game we are playing today called Let Them Fight. Zach, how hyped are you for this game?
I'm hyped. I love the games. I love that I always lose at them. But I think this time I'm coming on top. I'm going to win this one.
Well, before we get to that, we're going to have to take a break.
All right, let's do it.
Well, then we're going to be taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor, Anchor, and then we're going to get right to the game. Welcome back from the break, everybody. I am joined by Zach Velisi. We just talked about Godzilla vs. Kong, which is currently in theaters, as well as HBO Max. And Zach, you're Zach the Game Guy. You are here for our brand new game, Let Them Fight. As I mentioned before, this was quoted in Godzilla 2014 by the one and only Ken Watanabe. And pretty much what this game is going to be, there are 9 questions, aka 3 rounds. The first 2 rounds, I'm going to be describing to you 2 characters, fictional characters. They're mainly in film, but they can be from other sides of media. And I'm going to describe them to you, and you're going to have to guess, like Godzilla versus Kong. With the first 2 rounds, they have something in common with their names. But then in round 3, they have nothing in common with their names. It's more of common as a character, and you're still going to have to guess blank versus blank. So pretty much I could say this lizard who can breathe fire is fighting a monkey who just wants to be alone on his island. And if you want to, you could say Godzilla vs. Kong.
Okay, sounds easy enough.
I'm afraid that this isn't going to work out as well as I thought. But let's get right into it. And also, each round has different points. So for round 1, each name is 1 point. So pretty much each question is 2 points. And then for round 2, each name is 1.5 points, aka 3 points per question. And then round 3, the big one, each name is worth 2 points, which means each question is worth 4 points, for a total of 27 points. And Zach, if you earn 21 or more points, you win 50 whole cents.
That is actually exactly what I need to pay my rent this month, so I am really excited.
Every time you're on the show, I feel like you are just in need of paying rent. I think you need to get your finances well managed.
I know. I eat too much Chipotle.
All right, Zach, are you ready for your first question?
I am honestly so excited. Let's do it.
Question number 1. These 2 quack jobs love to have a good time. While one is out of this world, the other doesn't even believe in pants. Let them fight.
Okay, I think one of them is Donald Duck. Sounds like the one who doesn't believe in pants. And out of this world, one of them out of this world could be Daffy Duck.
He is a duck.
Is that the Looney Tunes one?
Daffy Duck is in fact the Looney Tunes duck.
And he's from Space Jam, and I would consider that out of this world. What was the first thing you said in the clue?
These 2 quack jobs love to have a good time.
Okay, I'm going to go with Daffy Duck and Donald Duck.
Is that your final answer? You have to say it as a versus.
Oh, sorry. Daffy Duck versus Donald Duck.
Zach, for your first question, I'm happy to say that is not entirely correct. The correct answer is Howard the Duck versus Donald Duck. Because Howard the Duck from Howard the Duck, as well as the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, is a duck from outer space.
Okay, I honestly was thinking Howard the Duck, but I've never seen the Howard the Duck movie, but I do know about his cameo in Guardians, but I didn't think that meant he was from outer space.
He is a duck from outer space. It is. Okay. It makes no sense whatsoever, but you know, that's Marvel. Question number 2. So you got a good gist of this. You understand how it goes.
Yeah, I get it.
Question number 2. Nothing is normal about these 2 kids in high school. After years of torment, I'd be surprised if they don't develop arachnophobia. Let them fight.
These are 2 kids in high school who deal with spiders a lot. Oh, could be Spider-Man. Could be Peter Parker. He's in high school. And another one I'm thinking of is Ron Weasley, because he's afraid of spiders. I think that's the hard part about this game. Because I really know you were not like those things you said. They're not that specific, at least to me.
Correct. But remember, this round is that a part of their name similar. They share a part of their name.
Can you say it one more time?
Nothing is normal about these 2 kids in high school. After years of torment, I'd be surprised if they don't develop Arachnophobia.
Nothing is normal about these two kids in high school. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Miles Morales. They're both Spider-Men.
One part I did not mention is that they are not, any of these two fighting characters are not from the same universe or franchise.
Uh-huh. God, this
is easy also. I thought you would have gotten this.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You give up entirely.
I mean, I can guess Spider-Man. I feel like that could be one of them. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just going to say Spider-Man versus blank. I can't think of another one.
I'm so sorry, Zach. Your franchises are right. It is the universe of Harry Potter and Spider-Man. The characters are Harry Potter versus Harry Osborn.
Oh,
no. AKA Peter Parker's best friend, who then turns into Hobgoblin or Green Goblin, whichever franchise, whatever universe you're in. I'm so sorry.
I don't think I ever would have gotten that.
Oh, I thought Harry Osborn, it would have rang a bell. Maybe I need a bit more description on that one. Hopefully this next one you get.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Question number 3. Merchandise galore. These girls have been big for younger audiences for decades. What's funny is that one is a self-centered hog, while the other can't even finish a sentence without snorting. No matter what, they would both taste great as a side for breakfast. Let them fight.
Oh my God. Miss Piggy, I think, is the one that is an upright hog. Can you say it again?
Merchandise galore. These girls have been big for younger audiences for decades. What's funny is that one is a self-centered hog, while the other can't even finish a sentence without snorting. No matter what, they would both taste great as a side for breakfast.
Oh, maybe it's Miss Piggy and Eeyore. No, wait, not Eeyore. Piglet. Miss Piggy and Piglet. Miss Piggy and Piglet. Okay, that's my answer.
Zach, you are half correct, in which it is Miss Piggy, but she versus Peppa Pig, who had her own film that was, I don't believe it was released domestically, but Peppa Pig has been big for young audiences, and she cannot finish a sentence without snorting.
For decades? How long?
Miss Piggy has them.
Wait, you said decades for both of them.
But they have reached over, okay, I will admit that was a bit poorly worded, but I thought that their characters have been reached for decades of different younger audiences.
Oh my God, this game.
You know what? For that, Zach, I'll give you half a point back.
Okay.
For my malfunction.
All right.
So at the end of round one, you have 2.5 out of 6 points. How are you feeling?
Not good.
All right, you ready for round two? This one is the same, in which they share a bit of their name, but it is a bit harder, I would like to think.
Okay.
From what is already what seems like a very hard game.
Yeah, if that was round one, I don't even want to know what round three is.
Round two, you ready?
Yeah.
No taller than 2 feet tall, these little redheads will melt your heart, except one's a serial killer and the other eats cereal for breakfast. Let them fight.
I'm thinking like Annie is one of them. Does she eat cereal for breakfast? She's an orphan. I don't think she ate like sludge. But you could be bending it a little here.
I'm pretty sure these are straight answers. There is no hijinks with this one.
Okay. Who eats cereal for breakfast? Can you say it again?
No taller than 2 feet tall, these little redheads will melt your heart.
Okay.
Except one's a serial killer and the other eats cereal for breakfast. Let them fight.
Trolls?
What?
I'm thinking like the trolls. 2 feet tall, though. The trolls are way less than 2 feet tall. Oh.
They're like 3 inches.
Munchkins? Oh. Oompa Loompa? But they don't eat. Oompa Loompas are short and redheaded.
Are they cereal killer or eat cereal for breakfast?
I don't think so. Who is a cereal killer? The leprechaun? I haven't seen it. Chucky. And then Chucky from Rugrats. Chucky Finster.
You have to do it as a versus.
Oh, God. Is that correct, though?
I'm not going to say, but you have to hand in your final answer.
Chucky does have red hair. Chucky from Rugrats. Okay, I'm going with Chucky Finster. I'm pretty sure that was his last name. Versus Chucky from Child's Play.
Zach, that is exactly correct. It is Chucky versus Chucky Finster. You did it.
I can't believe it.
Plus 3 points. Congratulations.
Wow. I got lucky there.
This next one I think might be a bit harder. Now I'm finally reading it, but we'll see what happens. Portrayed by comedy geniuses, these characters are having trouble with their girls. What's also a shame is that one has a short fuse, while the other is, well, just short. Let them fight.
Oh my gosh. This is very general. I wonder if people play at home.
I've heard some people have played at home.
And do they think that they would have done better than me?
All the time, 100%. Everyone thinks they're better.
Yeah, but get in the hot seat and try to do this, because two comedy legends can't get girls. That's like every character. That's like every comedy character.
Then maybe it's some other aspects you have to think of in this answer.
Can you say it again?
Portrayed by comedy geniuses, these characters are having trouble with their girls. What's also a shame is that one has a short fuse while the other is, well, just short. Let them fight.
Short fuse. Short fuse. I'm thinking like Anger from Inside Out, but I don't know who's the voice of him.
You might want to be thinking about the other hint.
Just short? Danny DeVito. When I think of short, he's a comedy legend, but I can't think of a movie he's been in.
These are all iconic characters that you could easily remember. That's a name.
The character's name.
Yes, the character's name.
And these characters' names are similar.
Yes.
Can you say it again?
Portrayed by comedy geniuses, geniuses for your own opinion, these characters are having trouble with their girls. What is also a shame is that one has a short fuse, while the other is, well, just short.
Danny DeVito as the dad in Matilda, like, he's having trouble with his girl in that movie.
You think I would pick Danny DeVito, in which neither of us remember his name in that film?
Matilda's dad? God, I can't think of either one. I'm not even feeling like I'm close to anybody.
I will admit you have not been close to anyone. You also have only been stuck on Danny DeVito.
I'm trying to think of a comedy legend who's short.
You gotta just think of what may not be just a short guy. It may be in different forms or mediums.
You mean like an animated short guy?
Potentially.
I don't watch animated movies, you know this.
Yes, and if I know this, then I'd think you'd still know.
The toys from Toy Story are pretty short, but none of them are having problems with their girls. I'm trying to think of other animated movies I've seen, and I'm at a blank.
Do you give up?
I can't think of... Can I have a better hint? I guess the animated movie is a pretty big hint.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Can you give me one of them?
No, that is just a straight up point.
I'm not getting even close.
All right, if you... I feel like I can't just give you one of... I'll give you an actor from one of them.
Okay, fine.
John Lithgow.
From Harry and the Hendersons? What else is he in?
Oh my God, Zach, I really thought you'd get this one. Do you give up?
I can't think of a movie where John Lithgow was like the star of the movie and is like a notable character. Oh, is this an animated one though?
Potentially.
I can't think of anything that John...
Do you give up? Do you give up on this entire question?
Yeah, I give up.
All right, it is Star-Lord versus Lord Farquaad.
I had no idea that John Lithgow played him.
John Lithgow played Lord Farquaad in Shrek, who was short, and then I used that for Star-Lord Chris Pratt, who at the time of Avengers Infinity War, as well as the Guardians films, was annoyed a lot to have a short fuse, or just got angry.
None of them are comedy geniuses. That's a huge stretch.
That's why I said genius is your discretion. I'm sorry about that, but I already gave you points back on one other question, so this is not going well for you.
I'm going to not be able to pay rent this month.
All right. The Battle of the Century. As these old figures will battle with their imagination, one can turn into anything, while the other can build anything with the finances from his boss.
What? This is way harder than any of the other games. I missed the X-Men game. That was easy. Who can build anything? Okay, maybe it's the guy from the Lego movie, but I don't know what the
kid... You don't remember those names, though.
No, I don't.
Remember, they share a part of their name.
They can build anything with the finances of his boss. And one can turn into anything. Who can turn into anything?
I feel so bad. I made these questions so hard.
The dad from Guardians 2 can turn into anything.
That's a possibility.
Really?
I'm saying it's a possibility. I never said it was close or anything.
I mean, like, I wouldn't think it would be true because it was just a Guardians character in the last round. Sounds like you'd make this jump. This game is way too hard.
I'm sorry. Maybe I thought my imagination would have translated over to you. I guess not.
Yeah. From his boss. What movie has people with bosses?
As a hint, I'll give you a hint. one of these characters you've just recently seen in a movie.
I just watched John Wick. I just watched Godzilla vs. Kong. What else have I seen? Is it from one of those movies?
I cannot say. That is too much information.
Let's look on my letterbox, folks.
All right, no, that's too much cheating. You gotta use your memory.
In the past week, I've only seen Godzilla vs. Kong, John Wick, and Bad Trip. Can turn into anything? Can Keanu Reeves in The Matrix turn into anything?
Oh my god.
I don't think he can. All of the actors in Godzilla vs. Kong are irrelevant.
Do you give up again?
Or maybe they get something from their boss. John Wick has no boss.
All right, you're thinking way too much of that hint.
Justice League? I think you need to give me one, and then maybe I'll get the other.
I can't give you one because that is literally half of the point.
No, you don't have to give me any points. Just give me one so I can get the other one.
All right, I'll give you one. One of them is okay. Pennywise.
He can turn into anything. And someone with the name Penny in their name can build anything from their boss.
You're so Penny, close.
Pennywise and Mr. Penny. Pennywise and Penny Lane. Pennywise and get something from his boss. Penny. Penny. Penny!
You're almost there.
Whose name is Penny? I have no idea. I give up again.
It is Pennywise versus Alfred Pennyworth from the Batman franchise. You didn't even get any, Zach. That is another plus zero. For round three, you get 3 out of 9. I think you just lose. I don't think you can get enough points in this last round unless you really shock me.
Okay.
Because this round three, we are no longer doing the names. It's a bit harder, but the characters are very similar. And these are notable characters. So hopefully this will be easier for you.
Okay.
All right, are you ready to start round three?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be, and I'm not promising I'm going to be able to get any of these.
Believed to be the same person in a famous fan theory, these characters love to create bloody puzzles. Some may call it self-defense. Others may say it's a murderous hobby. Let them fight.
Huh? Bloody puzzles? Can you say it again?
Believed to be the same person in a famous fan theory, online fan theory, these characters love to create bloody puzzles. Some may call it self-defense. Others may say it's a murderous hobby.
Okay, Saw. Seems like Saw. But his name isn't Saw.
The names are irrelevant for this one.
Okay. Is there... I don't know of a theory that has someone else is Saw. Maybe like... I don't know. I'm gonna just say Saw. I can't think of another one.
The answer is Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Versus Kevin McAllister. There is a fan theory that Kevin grows up to be Jigsaw. He defends his house, self-defense, with bloody puzzles scattered around the whole house. Zach, I will give you those 2 points for Jigsaw.
Thank you.
I put you through so much misery in this game.
I think I definitely deserve the 2 points.
Are you ready for the next question?
I'm ready.
These two famous cartoons may look similar, but have nothing in common. While one has a speech impediment, the other is able to make you look small. Nevertheless, both of them are barking up the wrong tree.
Dog with a speech impediment? I'm thinking Clifford. You said makes you feel small.
Yes, I forgot to put in this word. These two famous brown cartoons may look similar, but have nothing in common.
What's a brown cartoon? Like their color is brown? The dog from The Sandlot. Maybe one of them's Kong. He kind of barks. He makes you look small, and he's brown.
You're right.
I can't think of... Oh, my God. Who else is brown?
These two famous cartoons, brown cartoons, may look similar, but have nothing in common. While one has a speech impediment, the other is able to make you look small. Nevertheless, both of them are barking up the wrong tree.
Goofy? I don't watch cartoons. I'm just trying to think of dogs. Brown dogs. Bocce, my dog.
Shout out to Bocce. God bless her soul.
She kind of has a speech impediment.
Yeah, every time she tries to bark, it just comes out as meow.
Yeah. Can I have one?
You want one?
Yeah, I want one of them.
All right, I'll give you the easier one.
Oh, great.
Scooby-Doo.
He's got a speech impediment, I think. Yeah.
He says rut-row. He always uses R's.
Yeah, okay, I would call that a speech impediment. And the other one is a brown dog that's very big. It could be Kong. But I'm thinking it's more animated than that. Not Clifford, he's red. Big Dog. Marmaduke? Not Marmaduke.
Possibility.
Nah, he's not brown. And oh, this is the worst game. No offense, but this game is really, really hard.
I thought, you know, after four times, I've been giving it to you too easy. I needed to step up my game.
I've never won. They've always been too hard. This one's even more hard because I'm not getting anything.
You give up?
Yeah, I give up.
It's Scooby-Doo versus Marmaduke. You had the right answer.
It was Marmaduke.
Marmaduke is a brown cartoon originally from newspaper. He was then in a feature-length film voiced by Owen Wilson. Mm-hmm. He is a brown dog, and he makes you look small because he is a big-ass dog.
I can't believe I said Marmaduke.
And I can't believe you didn't run with it.
That was like a joke answer. I was like, no way it's Marmaduke.
All right. Final question.
Thank God. Let's do it. Let's get this over with.
These two fathers, while not even from the same planet, die for their sons. What makes their bond even more special is that they are voiced by the same actor. Let them fight.
God, from different planets. And he dies for the son.
Dying for their sons may be a bit of a stretch, but it sounded nice. Dies in relation to their sons.
He dies so their son can live?
Potentially.
I'm thinking of that scene where the dad from Superman gets swept up by the hurricane or tornado. But I don't think that's one.
These two fathers, while not even from the same planet, mm-hmm. as in one of them may be from a different planet than the mm-hmm. other, will die for their sons. What makes their bond even more special is that they are voiced by the same actor.
Voiced. So that could be, it's animated. I don't know why some of these characters are animated. I don't watch animated movies.
It doesn't have to be animated to be voiced.
But why would you say voiced? You would just say it's played if it wasn't animated, I think.
I thought you would have gotten this one.
They're played by the same actor. Dads played by the same actor who die for their sons.
Or in relation to their sons.
Die in relation to their sons. Can I get one?
No, I've given you way too many hints, and I feel like with them being voiced by the same actor is too much of a, this is obvious.
It's only obvious to you if you come up with it.
All right, I will say one of them, even though this is the final question.
Okay.
One of them is Darth Vader.
Mufasa!
Yes, Zach, it is Mufasa, because they're both voiced by James Earl Jones. I told you it was too easy if I gave you one of them.
I don't know if I would have ever gotten to it. I don't know if I ever really would have gotten there.
Father out of this planet, die for their sons.
It's just like there's just too many characters. It's just not specific enough.
I'm sorry. I should have worked better on my hints. I feel so upset they had to go through this, especially since your final total was 9.5 out of 27 points.
All right, hold on. Let me give you, I'm turning this around on you. Give me a minute. I'm thinking of it. I'm thinking of one, and I'm going to see if you can get it. Thinking, this is important for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got one.
All right.
I think I got one.
Do they share a name?
Yes.
Okay, hit me.
This is hard. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to think of a way to format it, but I got the two characters in my head. These dudes are both a part of film animation landmark movies and go through these crazy adventures that have them blue.
And have them blue.
Yep.
All right. Can I have blue written down as a word?
What do you mean?
Like, is it B-L-E-W-B-L-U-E?
No, B-L-U-E.
All right. Trying to think. Landmark films. These two dudes. So you got Sully from Monsters, Inc. He is blue. But Sully. So, trying to think of Toy Story, because that's a landmark. But Buzz Lightyear? No. Trying to think of other landmark animated films. Both of these are animated.
These are films that were landmarks in animation.
Jake Sully from Avatar and Sully from Monsters, Inc. Booyah!
Okay, you got it.
I told you I could do this.
Okay. Hey, I literally did it in 30 seconds. I came up with it very quickly.
And I thought, you know, the animation, that was a good, you know, like the James Earl Jones voiceover. It wasn't an animation, but it was a voice. That was a good question. I applaud that.
What'd you think of my question?
I said that was a good question. I applaud that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the James Earl Jones thing.
Why would I be complimenting myself? That was your question. I'm complimenting you. That was a good question.
I don't know. I thought you were complimenting yourself.
The only thing I would not say Jake Sully is as iconic as a name brand character, but
no, I know
it was very. I was very shocked that even I got it.
Well, I don't know. Like they're both blue. Like you're trying to think of blue people. I feel like there's not that many.
And once again, I'm sorry that you didn't get the 50 cents. I guess you're gonna have to live in your cardboard box once again.
Yep.
But Zach, hope you had a blast as much as you could playing Let Them Fight.
Good luck editing that.
Except barely any of them actually fought because we couldn't get the right names. Zach, thank you so much for joining me on this episode today. I had a blast talking and seeing Godzilla vs. Kong with you and also playing this game, Let Them Fight. Zach, do you have any last remarks? Anything else you want to say? Any shout-outs?
Go follow me on Twitter, at Zach Felici. I'm verified now, so you know I'm legit. And thank you again for having me on this podcast.
Of course. And audiences, thank you so much for listening. And if you don't know, you can actually support the show Mr. Movie by going to the link anchor.fm/Joshua-Bergman/support. Let me say that again. It is anchor.fm/Joshua-Bergman/support. You can donate $10, $5, or just $1 a month. Anything would mean the absolute world to us. Zach, once again, thank you so much for joining me on this episode today. And audiences, thank you so much for listening. And we hope you tune in next time.
Bye.